Well, many companies and businesses these days are quick to say what their mission is. Driven by a profit motive, and in some cases an altruistic desire to help others in society, businesses need to be clear who they are and what they stand for. So restaurant franchise McDonald's mission is to be our customers' favourite place and way to eat and drink. And they aim to give their customers exceptional experiences by focusing on people, product, and price. Furniture chain IKEA says that its mission is to make a better everyday life for many people. And they believe that their low prices and extensive range of products helps them to achieve this. Well, if such organisations have a mission and an identity, how much more is that true of the Church of Jesus Christ? What on earth is the church for, and what is its purpose? Well, our reading from 1 Peter chapter 2 is a good place to answer those questions. So if you haven't got the Bible open, it's on page 1220, 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus' fisherman friend turned Jerusalem church leader Peter is writing to Christians in what we would today call Turkey. The oppressive Roman Empire is in full sway, and they are under pressure, great pressure from the surrounding culture, meaning that these believers were facing significant persecution and suffering. Now, Peter reminds them who they are and what they are about. And what we read describes all who believe in Jesus since. So in other words, we see what our identity as church is and what our mission is. Well, Peter is clear in his encouragement of the believers that he writes to. He makes it clear that it is Jesus who is the one who has changed them and brought them into great new privileges that they now enjoy. Through the message of the gospel that they'd heard, they have been made spiritually new, born again through the living and enduring word of God, as he puts it in 1:23. And this is possible, chapter 2, because Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Jesus has taken away the sins of those who turn to him and believe in him. And what's more, the opening chapter reminds us that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there is now a living hope. So believers in Jesus are now citizens of God's new world, his kingdom, which is to be fulfilled fully in the future. So we live in the now as God's people, knowing that there is a better future when all things will be restored in Christ. Now this means that those who believe in Jesus are drawn together, but not merely into a club of like-minded people, not simply into an interest group. No, a church is something far more profound and purposeful. So our key verse this morning, 1 Peter 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." What an extraordinary identity those words reveal to us as to what the reality that we are as church. You see, these great realities are all fulfillments of Old Testament ideas that have now come true in Jesus. So firstly, Christians together as God's church are a chosen race. Now, the Old Testament people were often humbled by God when he reminded them that he had chosen them. He made it clear that this was not because they were worthy or particularly special, but just because he had chosen them. "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy," is God's explanation. Now, the New Testament is equally clear that if we belong to Jesus, we can claim no credit for ourselves. We believe because God has enabled us to believe. Repentance, turning back to God, and faith, relying on what God has done in Jesus, are themselves gifts from God. Now, we're given this insight that we are a chosen people in order to give us great encouragement. See, it's a reminder that our acceptance with God is all about his grace, his undeserved love. It reassures us that God has his gracious hand on us and he will keep us. And it is a great reminder too that we should be humbly grateful to God. So we're a chosen race, but also we're told that we are a royal priesthood. Now in the Old Testament, special men were set apart as go-betweens for the people. Go between God and people. And in order to offer sacrifices, the sacrifices were to show that sin is serious and yet that God forgives. These priests had the privilege of direct access to God's presence in the temple. Well, now that Jesus has come, he is our he is our true high priest. Jesus is our go between us and God. And Jesus is the sacrifice himself. So because of Jesus, we don't need special priests now. They were just given in the Old Testament to point forward to Jesus. But through what Jesus has done, all believers in Jesus are priests. We all have freedom and access to God's presence, and we can point others in the same direction. So that means that together, as the church, a royal priesthood, we are God the King's people, welcomed by God through the benefits of what Jesus has done in his death on the cross, and then freed in order to serve him. Well, Peter also tells us that we are a holy nation. Now, just as Old Testament Israel was a nation with the identity of belonging to the true and living God, so in Christ, people from all countries, all races, all backgrounds who are drawn to him become a nation. And not just any old group, but a holy nation. Of course, we are by nature sinful. But through Christ, he has brought cleansing. And as his holy people, made holy through Christ, we are to avoid simply imbibing and reflecting the ways of society around us. Rather, we are to remember that we are the holy God's people, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, made to reflect his character of holiness. Now, this reality underlines how important it is that we seek to stand firm under pressure. We live in a time and place when it's increasingly challenging to maintain this vision. We live in a time when secular humanist kind of values are dominating. And they so often fail to understand the reality of God and his holy character. But it must be said, of course, that what we are experiencing in this way is nothing compared to what Peter's original hearers had to endure under the tyrannical Emperor Nero. So we do face pressures from outside, but also, sadly, it has to be said that we face challenges from within. There is a major challenge in the Church of England currently. Now, the PCC have considered some of these issues, but we've said little about them in public in church services, but we do now need to be aware. The media face of this challenge is over the nature of marriage. But this really is only a symptom of a much bigger problem. It's been said it's like the tip of an iceberg with huge problems underneath the water. Do we understand ourselves as human beings according to current secular values or the Bible as Christians have for 2,000 years? Do we simply need to see Jesus as an inspirational figure? Or do we need rescuing by him as our saviour who died for sins and physically rose again? Should we just go along with the changing fashions and values of the world, even when they contradict Jesus' teaching? Or are we to seek to grow as his church in reflecting God in his holiness as he's made himself known in the Bible? Well, forceful voices, including tragically, some bishops and senior leaders want to revise the Christian faith, rather like has happened in the Episcopal Church in America, and move the Church of England away from its Bible-based heritage. I don't think it's overstating things to say that the very identity of the church and the gospel message is at stake. standing firm and resisting this revisionist agenda and being positive about the gospel as it's been revealed in the Bible is going to be very challenging. So can I encourage us all, please, to be praying about this at this time? So we have then been made a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. They're tremendous blessings which are worth dwelling on. So isn't it good on our annual meeting Sunday to be reminded what a special group of people a church is? Now the rest of this little verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, points us as to why we are here, what our mission is, if you like. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. The church's mission is summarised here. We have a clear purpose to proclaim God's greatness, his excellencies, to do that back to him in praise and also out to others in sharing the good news. Now, given all that God is and all that he has done, we are a people who are to proclaim with our lips the praise of our great God. And the significance of our praise and prayer should not be underestimated. God is worthy of our praises, given who he is and given what he has done in making us his people. Now, our annual meeting Sunday is a good time to say thank you to all those who play their part in small groups and in public services, welcoming, leading, leading us in prayer, doing Bible readings, making drinks, serving in other ways, and I'm sure this is something that we can develop even further in our church family, and those who help us to praise God through music, coordinated so skillfully by Lester, and those who help in practical ways, cleaning All Saints Church building here, dealing with money, opening and closing the building, making the parish hall run smoothly. Well, the other sense of the mission is to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, in terms of declaring those excellencies to those around us, sharing God's greatness and grace with others. We're all aware that despite our Christian heritage, it seems clear that many of our friends and neighbours have little understanding of the great gospel message. We have the privilege of being a group of God's people who are together to make known and illustrate in our church community what God has done in Jesus. Now, this involves special occasions where we can share the good news. And it's been great this last year to have seen the memorable and moving Mark drama, thanks largely to Nicholas Haydock's leadership. There's been small group meetings to help inquirers. We've had special activities to build bridges and share the gospel with different ages, from children through to retired people. And Sunday by Sunday, opportunities to make Christ known to others. Well, these outreach, evangelistic, gospel activities can only happen if we all play our part. It cannot just be down to the vicar or the PCC or the parish assistant, whoever it is. We all have opportunities as we mix with people to be a witness by how we live, to invite, to pray, to do our homework, so that when people ask us questions about the Christian faith, we can begin to point them towards the reasons that there are to believe. It's also worth saying that this last year has seen several opportunities to support others in making God's excellencies known beyond North Ferriby. Nicholas Haydock being accepted by Wycliffe Bible Translators and our church supporting him. Seeing Ben Wood developing in his ministry as parish assistant in partnership with St Mark's Anlaby. And some are supporting our former parish assistant Rob Turl as he moves to Scarborough with a team to plant and begin a new church there. And we've been able to formalise our gospel partnership with new international mission partners, Rick and Alana Crichton in Nigeria. Many of us met Alana over the last couple of weeks, and she spoke in our service last week as she and the children visited. Well, being God's privileged people involves being engaged in proclaiming the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. Now, there are several papers that are going to be available and have been to do with our annual meeting. And on the financial statement of the annual report, we have a section called Objectives and Activities. And this uses a phrase which we use from time to time on our documents and publicity and website as an expression of our identity and mission as All Saints North Ferriby. It says, "We seek to be a church in Ferriby for Ferriby with gratitude to God for the privileges of being his people and with the purpose of declaring his excellencies to our parish and beyond." You recognise those words? They come from here in 1 Peter chapter 2, words that we've been dwelling on. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to grasp the great privileges that you've given to us, and that you would equip us with your grace, that we might indeed praise your name and make you known to others. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.